setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
Live from Ramsey Studios in Nashville, Tennessee, you're joining a conversation about who you are, what you were born to do, where you want to do it, and how you can get there. 844-747-2577 is the phone number to jump in. 844-747-2577. The email address for the show is ask@kencoleman.com. KenColeman.com, the website. Love to have you connect with us there. This is not another political talk show. This is a talk show about purpose, because you and every other man and woman on the planet was created to fill a unique role. That means you are very much needed, and it also means that you must do it. There is a duty for you to be you, because somebody out there needs to run into you. So change your mindset about your value, and then let's help you get clear. Let's look at what you do best and what you love to do most. Everybody's born with talent. Everybody's born with passion. Talent is what you do best. Passion is what you love to do most. Let's figure out how to combine the two and do work that you love that matters deeply to you. Let's go to Mike, who's on the line in Detroit, Michigan. Mike, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. So glad to talk to you. Question today is, I've got what you could call an invitation. It seems like it's by a producer. Really, it's for a one-hour breakfast, and I'm in Detroit. This is in Austin, where I want to be. Question is really like, should I, you know, upfront the money and pay for this to have this potential breakfast conversation, which could lead to more?
Yes. I guess I need to know more about why you're asking me. Is there something that I need to know? But it seems like you want to be in Austin, and yep. This is somebody who could help give you something specifically. They certainly can give you some good insight, yes or no?
Yes.
Can they make also, more connections?
Potentially. He is a hiring manager for a company I've applied to a few times.
Oh, my gosh.
But also doesn't have any jobs available right now for me.
Yeah, but you're asking, should you pay for a plane ticket to go meet with this guy?
Yeah, plane ticket, hotel, rental car, you know, maybe all said and done, you know, $800 or $1,000.
Well, is that going to really kill you financially?
No, but at the same time, it's something I could do. You know, we're working through a process of self-relocating, and maybe it's Austin, maybe it's Nashville. But so this is just maybe I'm trying to get to my dream job, and this is kind of something that popped up, and
yeah.
I'm not sure if it's really something worth pursuing if it's just a breakfast.
Well, I mean, did he offer this opportunity? He said, hey, I want to have breakfast with you, or did you reach out to him?
I reached out to him. I mean, really, from your proximity principle, I didn't have any connections in the field I wanted.
I love
in
it.
The area.
I love it.
And so, you know, a little bit of LinkedIn networking, and, you know, a month and a half later, and I did get back, and then invitation came up.
Yeah, I would do it. And what I would do is I would try to make one or two other meetings happen while you're in Austin so that you go, okay, I'm not spending $800 to $1,000 for one breakfast. I'm going to be there doing some other things. Maybe I can be checking some things out, making some other connections. I would try to maximize the time. But I got to tell you, this is to me, the way you've described it, this is a first legit connection you got in this industry. And you reached out and the guy said, yes. It's like investing in yourself.
Right.
Would you invest $1,000 into your future?
I would.
Well, then why are we talking about this anymore?
Well, another mentor that I talked to who is in Austin, I brought this up to his attention yesterday, and he said, no, if he doesn't have any jobs, if you're not going for a job interview, he wouldn't suggest I do it. I brought it up to this individual's attention, and he also said, yeah, don't fly out here on my behalf. So I've gotten a little bit of mixed results, but I felt like you would encourage me to do it, and that's how I felt I should do it as well. So I'm on this little bit of a limbo.
But do you know why I'm more aggressive than your mentor and the actual guy?
You know how to get hired into the dream job.
Well, yeah, but I know that it takes a lot of times it's just about going, not about the money and not about the potential. It's just about going. And so I wouldn't be disappointed in you if you decide not to do it. I would say if the guy said, I wouldn't come out here on my behalf, I would, again, take the advice I gave you, which is, what else could you do while you're in Austin? Because you said that Austin is a place you're interested in relocating to. Am I right?
Yep. Yeah.
So absolutely. Why wouldn't you do some other things while you're there? Here's the deal.
I would.
You know, the
I'd
ticket.
House search.
Yeah. I mean, here's the deal. Do you know anybody that lives in Austin at all?
Yes.
Well, then crash at their place. Save the hotel money.
That's a great point.
The round trip ticket doesn't matter if you're there 14 days or 4 hours.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Okay. So I look at it as you're going to meet with somebody in the industry you want to be in. He doesn't have an opening right now, but he might have an opening. You never know when he's going to have an opening. And then he also knows other people in the industry. Yes or no?
Yep. Absolutely.
It's not, I write about this in the proximity principle. It's not about when you meet with a producer, don't I specifically write in the book, Mike, that you don't sit down with them to get a job. You're in there to say, hey, what advice would you give me to make the move into this industry? Who are some other producers I need to meet with? What are some places I need to get in? Didn't I say that in the book?
Absolutely. I actually just heard that right before I called you today.
All right, then. So my point is, yep. Your mentor's playing it safe. You guys are thinking about money. It's only money if you can save up for it and you're not strapped to do it and you sacrifice in other areas to come up with the cash. I think you go for it. It's going to force you. Once you hit purchase of that ticket, all of a sudden, Mike's going to start coming up with lots of things he needs to do while he's in Austin. So I don't think you're spending $800 to $1,000. First of all, I just saved you money because you're going to stay with friends because you're gonna man up and swallow your pride and say, hey, can I crash on your couch? Okay? Because if they're friends, they'll say yes.
Yep.
And if you're not comfortable with that, then pay for the hotel. I don't care. But my point is you need to be going doing more things in Austin while you're there, not just having breakfast. This is where could we possibly live? What are the best school districts in Austin? Who are some other people I could connect with in Austin? You know, who does this guy? He's already agreed to breakfast. Say, hey, are there anybody else? Are there any other people in your industry or this industry that you think I need to meet with while I'm in Austin? Why wouldn't you do that? But my point is you need to have a really busy schedule while you're in Austin. And then we are allocating that cost over multiple initiatives. But you're just overthinking it because you had two people that you respect say, I wouldn't come out here. Well, guess what? It ain't their life. It's not their future, is it?
No, it's mine and I'm taking charge of it.
Good. See, and I'm making a point here, Mike, to the audience, not just you. Because there's a lot of Mikes. A lot of ladies out there who are in a similar situation and they're taking advice from people who aren't getting after it on their mission. I'm sorry, let me restate that. They're taking advice from people who aren't living your life. It's your life. So, I appreciate the advice, but they're always going to give you the safe, the smartest decision. Well, I got to tell you something. Safe is not always smart. I've said that a million times on this program. And your mentor and the guy you're going to meet with, they're going to give you the safe advice. This is safe. You want to play it safe? Play safe. But again, it's not their life. So they're always going to give you the safe advice. You get to decide what risk is worth it. Well, enough of that, Mike. Get after it. All right, folks, time flies when you're having fun, and boy, oh boy, are we having fun. Good news, more coming. Don't move. This is The Ken Coleman Show. My friends at Bethel School of Technology have received the Best Value College Alternative Award by University Research and Review. They're one of only 15 institutions to receive this award because their online technology boot camp provides their students the most up-to-date tech training and highest chances of post-school employment. And it's a fraction of the cost and a fraction of the time. Go to betheltech.net/Ken Coleman and get an offer of $1,000 to $2,500 off your tuition. That's betheltech.net/Ken Coleman. It is a safe place for you, America, to talk about what it is you were created to do. This is a scary topic for so many people. It's just fearful. Because if you let yourself begin to talk about, what am I created to do? Because I don't think I'm doing it.
That means some change could be in the near future.
And few things lock us human beings up like change will do. Oh my gosh, it'll make the chest just feel like there's a 50-pound plate just sitting there on your chest. And it's scary stuff. I love when people call in and say, I don't know what my passion is. I go, yes, you do. And we're about ready to get it out. So give us a shot, shall we? Talk and just learn about you. And before you know it, you're going to make the connection. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Tamara's on the line in Detroit, Michigan. Tamara, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. I am in a crossroad right now in my life. I don't know what or where I should go. I'm currently in a position where my time is up, and I know that my time is up because of how I feel when I wake up in the morning.
Mm.
I initially started out going to school for a theater, and then I ended up switching it to television and radio. Graduated from DePaul University in 2004 with a mass media communication degree. Interned at Fox News there, the Jerry Springer Show, a record label. Then I moved back thinking that I had all the info. I was equipped to get a job in television. Well, I was wrong because I did not know how to work a camera. So then I enrolled into a broadcasting school here in Michigan, and I did really good there. And what ended up happening is I had a demo reel and everything. I still couldn't find that job. But at this time, my roadblock was I had a son, and I didn't want to move him to a smaller market. So I ended up working for a radio station for about 5 years, and there was absolutely no money there. And I actually had a boss that, what I call, are dream killers. And so I ended up just getting a job.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was unemployed, and then where I'm at right now.
Okay.
So
you're unemployed?
No, I'm currently employed now. I don't want to be employed, but how I feel some morning,
gotcha.
I'm going to just not go.
Okay. So
I'm lost.
Yeah, I don't know if you're lost. I just think that you are discouraged. But we'll see. Because I heard a lot of talk. You talked for almost...
And I like to talk.
No, I love that. So do I. So, you know, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show. For 2 minutes, you talked for 2 minutes, and the majority of what you talked about was broadcasting. So my question is... when you were pursuing broadcasting, was it an on-air position or a production role?
It was an on-air position.
Okay. And you started the call off going, Ken, I just don't know. I'm at a crossroads, and I'm curious to know what the crossroads is. Because a crossroads means there are at least three, sometimes four, options. Do you feel like there are clear options? Is that what you meant by that?
I'm not sure if there are clear options. One of the fears... And I understand where my fear is coming from.
Good.
One of my fear is when I go into broadcasting, I don't like the idea of me having to stick a microphone in front of a grieving mother's face.
Okay,
when my
great.
News director is telling me this is what I have to do.
Great.
I prefer entertainment news reporting.
Uh-huh.
That's what I like the most because, again, I studied film and I just learned that there's a niche for entertainment a critic film journalist.
Okay, great.
And also, I recognize that I'm not that great at writing. So
okay,
I'm currently looking to take some classes, some English writing classes.
I don't know. Hold on a second. Hold on. You're getting ahead of me.
Okay.
What are you really good at? Tell me your top two or three talents.
I'm really good at encouraging people. I'm really good at motivating people. And I love to talk.
Right. So you're a good communicator. So you don't need... You're a good communicator.
Correct.
Yeah, but you don't need to be a great writer. If writing is something... I'm okay if you take the writing class. I just wanted to press pause before we got into a writing class because I think there's some other things we need to do first. And the things we need to do first is we need to say, okay, let's get really excited about the clarity of the path that you want to walk on. And I think you know exactly what it is, but I want to make you say it. So here we go. Tamara, I can snap my fingers and give it to you right now. Tell me what you're doing.
Okay.
Tell me what you're doing on air, because I know it's on air. So what are you doing on air tomorrow? You don't have to worry about qualifications, and you know you're not going to fail, but you're going to get up and do this, and you're out of your mind excited, and you're calling me going, Ken, it was awesome. What would that be?
It would be to interview celebrities and to be able to bring light to the positive things that they do.
Okay, great. That's beautiful. And so now we just say that's the 50,000 foot view. Okay, that's just from way up high. So now we start thinking about what's the path? What's the path to get there? And the path to get there, okay, starts with what do I need to do to get qualified? What do I need to learn, do to get qualified? How much is that going to cost me with my time and money to get qualified? And based on the cost of my money and my time, how long, what's the journey going to look like? Is it 4 years, 3 years, 2 years? I told my wife early on, Tamara, having no idea how long it would actually take, but having an educated guess, I thought it'd take 5 to 7 years. Took me 7 years to get to Dave, 2.5 more years to get the dream job, 9.5 years. So the question is, are you willing to wait as long as it takes to keep doing incrementally, little bit at a time, going at the pace that you can go, knowing that you will get there if you stay with it?
That's where fear steps in it.
Yeah, but
it's
see,
41. It's yeah, that means that's it.
You're how old?
41.
Who cares? Guess how old I am. How old do you think I am? This is fun. I've never asked anybody. How old do you think I am, Tamara?
I'm going to say around my age, 38.
Yeah, I'm 45. I'm 45 years old.
Okay.
I got the dream job 2 years ago at 43. So that's a bunch of nonsense, because the question is it a local entertainment reporter, regional, national, whatever? But you can't get all hung up on the size of this, the size of the mountain. You got to get hung up on what is it going to take for me to incrementally climb up the mountain. And so what you need to do next is use the proximity principle. And I'm going to give you that copy of my book, because it's going to literally walk you through the path. This is a proven path. You put yourself around the right people, Tamara, and in the right places, opportunities are going to come to you. It doesn't matter if you're 41, but you're going to have to do something else. And it might be something that you're not wild about, to take care of that son and to take care of you. And then you're going to pursue this on the side, just like I did with a wife and 3 kids. Now that's the reality, but you can get there. You can do it. And you're going to have to, you're going to have to identify, what does the path look like? Who are the people that you need to start hanging out with? And they're not just friends. I'm going to talk about that. I'm talking about specific people in the book, which I'll walk you through. But for you specifically, you're going to have to start going to coffee with, you know, TV reporters and TV producers locally there in Detroit. If that's where you got to be, if you're willing to move to another market, then do it. Go to a small market, but you're going to have to support yourself some other way, meaning that we're going to work this job, and I'm going to take some family with me. I'm going to do whatever it takes to be able to support myself while I'm paying my dues if I have to in a smaller market.
Okay.
It's not a mystery. You actually know what it takes. That's why I'm not getting so specific. You know what it takes. I don't have to tell you all the things. You said enough to me. I know you know what it takes. But if you got to go to Sheboygan, go to Sheboygan. If you got to do the weather, you do the weather. I'm not saying you're going to have to, but I'm saying you get in. And so when I got into sports radio, knowing I didn't want to do sports radio long term, but it got me in radio. So the book is written for you. Madison, give her a copy of the book, because again, Tamara, you know what the traditional paths look like. I want to challenge you to find some non-traditional ways for you to get some type of interview experience, you know, reporting on local entertainment, maybe in Detroit, part-time, you know, becoming that person, you know, even if you got to volunteer yourself and your services to get some gigs and to get something under your belt, that will work, I promise.
Don't go anywhere. We're going to get more clarity for more of you coming right up. This is The Ken Coleman Show.
Hey folks, Ken Coleman here with you. When it comes to looking for a job, most people would probably agree that the whole experience is not fun. But it doesn't have to be this way. ZipRecruiter gets it. In fact, they've actually figured out ways to make the job search process better and easier. And candidates who are invited to apply on ZipRecruiter are nearly 3 times as likely to get hired. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for free today at ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. It's absolutely free. Put ZipRecruiter to work for you. Welcome back, America. You're joining the conversation about you and what you were created to do here on The Ken Coleman Show. 844-747-2577. So fun to talk to men and women every day about stepping into that purpose. Oh my goodness, can you imagine getting up on Monday mornings? Even though you might be a little tired, yeah, you want a little more R&R every once in a while, but imagine getting up on a Monday morning and actually be thrilled about the week ahead because you're doing work that you love to do. And the results of that work you love to do matter deeply to you. This is not a fantasy. Is it a dream? That's why we call it the dream job. But a dream is very doable. 68 to 70% of Americans are disengaged at work. Oh my gosh, that's a problem. That's the revolution I am trying to lead. A revolution of men and women who are doing meaningful work. Can you imagine how much better the world would be? Let's get at it, shall we? All right, 844-747-2577. Right here in our backyard, Franklin, Tennessee is where we go next. Brandon's on the line. Brandon, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, how are you?
I'm living the dream, sir. How can I help?
Good. Hey, hopefully I'll be living the dream, too. So I have a question for you. So my wife and I recently relocated from California to Franklin. So we've been here a couple months. We are both in our sweet spot as far as careers. Just to give you a heads up, I've been in the industry I'm in for about 10 years now and found my sweet spot with a new company when I relocated to Franklin. So right now, I am a sales manager for reps that all work remotely. My previous experience was going into offices. You know, I had the luxury of team building and the camaraderie and, you know, a good culture that way. So my question is how do I improve team culture where all my reps work from home, they all work remote, and I'm doing the best I can to, drive the sales machine, but also build relationships with those reps?
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you define culture?
That is a good question. So, you know, believing in your product, believing in each other, there's a brand awareness, the ability to, just succeed.
Okay. I'm not going to disagree with that, but let me tell you the technical definition of culture. If you look it up in the dictionary, it's going to come down to, I'm rephrasing it, but it basically means shared behavior.
Okay.
So that when you walk into a company culture, whether they are intentional about their culture or not, every company has a culture. Every home has a culture. Mm-hmm. If I walk into your home tonight, it'd take me 5 minutes and I'd be able to describe the culture of your home by just being there, observing and watching everybody interact. So at the Coleman House, there's a culture and there's shared behaviors. That's what that means. And at a company, when everybody kind of does it this way, that is the culture. It is the shared behaviors of the team. So your challenge is not instilling culture, because you could tell me pretty quickly, just off the top of your head, the shared behaviors you want all those team members to have. Am I right?
Correct.
The issue is not defining and instilling the culture. The issue is communicating it, and the word is not enforcing, but executing on it.
Okay.
And the reason that that's your issue is it's a heck of a lot easier when everybody's under the same roof, right?
Correct.
So what you have to do is you have to clearly define what you want the shared behaviors to be, and then you need to create accountability to measure those. So it doesn't matter if they're in their home, in their sweatpants, or at a coffee shop, decked to the nines. These are the shared behaviors that you will be measured on. And so you really focus on that. And then what you do to accentuate it and kind of reinforce it is find ways to make these people feel like they've got the best remote job on the planet. So there are monthly or quarterly or annual gatherings where you do get together. And then there is communication between them or from you to them where they feel valued, and they feel cared for. They feel incentivized, and they get recognized. If you do that, it's all about how you do it consistently, and it doesn't matter that you're not all in the same room. It just matters that those shared behaviors are clearly communicated and measured, meaning we're going to hold you accountable in these things. And then you do those other things to introduce fun and value together, and every once in a while, if you can, break bread together. But if you're spread out all around the country, you can't do that, but probably once a year, right?
That's right. You know, what's funny is I listened to, the last time I was on a plane, I listened to a podcast, and you mentioned the same thing about instilling values, reward, recognize, incentivize, and even get the spouse on board if possible.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all you got to do. So it's just going to be a little bit more intentional for you and more rigid and scheduled, because you don't have the benefit of everybody being under the same roof. So with everybody being remote, you got different schedules, different time zones, things like that. You're just going to have to be more methodical in planning it and then executing. And if you do that, it's going to be fine. These people are going to go, oh my gosh, this is unbelievable. This guy, Brandon, is an absolute rock star, you know, and communication's big. Helping these folks get to know each other, even though they don't spend time together, in close proximity. How do you create proximity from afar? You know, make sure they know about each other. Maybe group chat every once in a while that's just fun. Are you kidding me? Yeah, we're going to do 20 minutes, and I've got 5 questions for everybody to answer. And we're going to start with, if you could live anywhere in the world other than where you live, where would you live and why? Just fun stuff like that every once in a while, so they get to know each other. That's worth a 20-minute chat once every 3-4 weeks. Stuff like that. Oh, that's fun. Listen, folks, culture can be created anywhere, so do it. Just create shared behaviors. Let's go to Simon, who's on the line in Crittenden, Kentucky. Simon, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. How can I help?
I'm calling in regards of my older brother, who had just gotten out of college with his associate's degree, and he is seeking a job in what his career field is, and that is computer programming.
Okay.
He is currently not getting any calls back or anything like that from resumes he submitted in, and I was curious on how he should go about pursuing that.
Oh, yeah, I love this. You're a great younger brother. How about that? Well, Simon, if he is submitting resumes blindly, and what I mean by that is he is applying online or dropping a resume off, and there's nobody in the company that he is applying to, if there's nobody in that company that knows him or has a mutual relationship with him, that is then kind of recommending him, then he's not going to get any calls back. That's what he's doing wrong. So the good news is there's a lot of hope. The bad news is he's just been going about it the wrong way. And I've got an actual free resource for him. It's called the Get Hired Guides. There's 3 of them, actually. But the how to flip your resume, how to write the resume, how to submit it, that is all at kencoleman.com. And it's also... we got a whole section in my book, The Proximity Principle, that walks him through how to get hired. It's the practices section in the back of the book. And so I'm going to give that to you today to give that to your brother. But what he's doing wrong is he's just submitting resumes. And so he's a nameless, faceless person. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so what he's got to do is he's got to identify the companies that he has applied for, which, by the way, he can still do this, Simon. He doesn't have to go find all a bunch of new companies. Let's talk about the ones he's already applied to. He needs to go back and go, who do I know or who does our family know that works at these companies? And then if we don't know that, we go, well, who do I know, who do our families know that knows somebody that knows somebody that works in there? And then all of a sudden they go, hey, I'm willing to call a good friend who works over there and I'll vouch for you. And how well I know the family and know your brother and blah, blah, blah. You see how that works? And now it's a different ball game when his resume has been handed to somebody who's making the hiring decision and he's been recommended and there's a relationship involved, and that credibility is what gets the phone call. That's how that works. So hang on the line. We're going to give you the Proximity Principle book to give to your brother. And again, the back section, there's 3 sections: people, places, practices. The practices goes deep into this, so go check it out. Don't move. This is the Ken Coleman Show. More coming right up. This is the show that is all about the reason that you are on the planet. There is one. There's a role you're supposed to fill. That means you are needed and you have to do it. So no matter where you are in this journey, I mean, you're not sure what it is, or you know what it is, you're not sure how to get there, or you've been knocked down, beat up, thrown to the side with life coming at you, it doesn't matter. We believe in redemption, restoration, because there is, after all, a purpose. So we're thrilled to have you here on The Ken Coleman Show, 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. Some of you, today's the day that you need to call in. Now, the lines get full from time to time. You can call after the show is live, 844-747-2577. Leave a voicemail. You can email us, ask@kencoleman.com, and say, hey, I'd like to schedule a call, and we'll get you on the air. We appreciate your patience. This is all about you, so hang in there. 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. Let's go to Maria, who's on the line in Seal Beach, California. Maria, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you today?
I'm living the dream, Maria. How can I help?
Great. I am, too. I just started a new job that I'm really excited about, really humbled to have it. I want to do really well. I'm going to be having weekly check-ins with my supervisor, and I wanted your advice on how to best maximize that time.
Well, what is it that you really want to... Let's think about the what would be the desired outcome. What would be the... You walk out of there, and you're going, woohoo!
I want to make sure that I'm meeting expectations and hopefully exceeding them, and that I'm growing in my role and that I'm helping the company.
Right, but there's also an outcome. You want those answers. You want confirmation of that. Yeah. Then you want something else. What is it?
Well, further down the line, I want opportunities to be promoted and grow into a leadership role.
There we go. I knew this. I was just playing a little game with you, Maria, because when somebody asks you a question, well, how do I interact, and what do I ask, and how did it, well, wait a second. Let's figure out what our desired outcome is. What do we want the end result to be? And what the end result is for you is you want to know there's a ladder. Am I right?
Exactly. Yes.
Show me the ladder, right? If I was going to rip off Jerry Maguire, I'd be like, not show me the money, show me the ladder. So you never go into a performance review going, show me the money. You say, show me the ladder. So this is what I want you to be thinking. This is what I want you to ask. This is what you called about. I want you to ask, hey, what am I doing really well? What are some areas that I need to grow in? And how would you suggest that I do that? What are some areas that are weaknesses that maybe we need to just mitigate? And how do we best go about kind of protecting from that so that I'm operating my strengths? Nobody asks those questions. It's going to blow their mind that you're that open and transparent and willing for feedback. The other thing I would ask is, hey, now that you've given me that insight, if I improve, mitigate in the weakness areas, focus more on the areas where I'm completely strong, What does the ladder look like for me? Because I'd love to continue to grow here. I'd love more responsibility, more influence. And when someone asks for more responsibility and influence, guess what's going to follow that? What do you think? What do you think follows responsibility and influence when it increases? What comes with that?
Promotion, salary.
Yes. But do you see the difference in the tone and just the way that might feel if you talk about it that way, as opposed to, hey, I haven't had a raise in a year and a half, and I'd like to know what I got to do to get a raise. Hey, that's awful. So you never want to do that. And here's the other thing, Maria. It's not just about setting them up the right way, because a healthy leader is going to go, hey, right on, let's get a growth plan for you. But you're also going to find out if they really will do that. And if they kick the can down the road and don't do that, you go, uh-oh, it's time for me to start thinking about an exit strategy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would do.
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate the call. It's that simple, folks. Think about anytime you're coming up with the questions and what to say in a interview or a performance review, first think, what is the desired outcome? What do I want? And don't just go, I want to get the job. Well, thanks. Tell him what he's won, Johnny. No. What do you want him to think about you? What do you want them to ask you? Think about this stuff. It's communication 101. Let's go to Mary, who is on the line in Nashville. Mary, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm thrilled to.
I have a quick question. So I'm a stay-at-home mom. I have a 3.5-year-old and a 1-year-old. And I got a degree in hospitality, you know, back when I was in college. I'm just wondering if I should get my MBA because I'm going to re-enter the workforce at some point. When they start school, probably. I just didn't have a lot of working experience before I had children, so I feel like I would be kind of, I mean, I know I'll be kind of behind my peers when I do go back to work, and I don't really want to go back to work for just like a low-level task job.
Well, you wouldn't, first of all. Well, yes, I do know, and I love your question, but I am so thrilled you called me because, Mary, you have created a reality that is not real.
Okay.
I know, sounds weird, right?
Yeah.
But in your mind, you're fast forwarding to when you're 1-year-old. So let's just say 4 more years is in school and you re-enter the workforce and all you have is a degree in hospitality. You haven't been full-time working in hospitality or doing something else that you would deem as work that you would enjoy. And therefore, no one's going to want to hire you. And so then you think, well, I need to go get an MBA because even though I don't have a lot of experience, I got these super impressive letters behind my name. Mary, MBA. Well, let me tell you something. The MBA, I don't care. I mean, I'm going to take criticism for this, but I'm going to say it. The MBA does not make you any more valuable when you don't have experience. You can go get an MBA, but you haven't done anything.
Right.
Now, let me ask, what would be that? Would you want to go into hospitality?
Not particularly.
What do you want to do?
You know.
What do you want to do?
Well, I would like to, I'd like to go into sales.
Oh, my gosh.
Sort of like business.
You do not need an MBA to sell something.
Okay.
In fact, can I give you your path to a sales MBA without the cost and without the schooling?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, I'm so excited. So I want you to read everything Tom Hopkins wrote on sales. I want you to look up on Amazon today the best-selling books on sales, okay? I want you to do a Google search for the best-selling sales books of all time. I want you to listen to podcasts that are focused on helping people be better salesmen. I want you to sign up for a couple webinars in the near future or wait 4 years until the little one is on his way to school or her way to school. So you can get an MBA in how to be a great salesperson from free sources and very cost-effective sources. Are you tracking with what I just said, Mary?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This is not difficult at all. You do not need an MBA if you want to be in sales. And I would tell you this, you might be able to find a sales job from the home in a couple of years from now when the kids are a little bit older, maybe when child number one goes to school and it gets you back to one-on-one, man-to-man defense, you know? you know, so you just need to learn what makes a great salesperson, techniques of salespeople, and all that information is out there at the cost of a book, at the cost of a webinar. And oh, by the way, podcasts are free. There's all kinds of stuff on YouTube. Mary, you don't need an MBA. Oh my gosh. I love it when I set people free. I love it. Mary, be free. You don't need an MBA. If that's you or you know somebody that's thinking that school is the next option just to feel like they're qualified, and can I tell you what's really behind this? Mary wondered if she needed an MBA to be valuable. Oh my gosh. So glad she called. Our time is almost up, but before I let you go, you matter and you do have what it takes. Thank you so much for joining the conversation. Until the next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
If you enjoyed this podcast, we have more from the Ramsey Network, like Borrowed Future.
Hey, listeners, I'm George Camel, and in this 8-episode podcast series, we're exploring the student loan debt crisis and the impact it's having on real people. We're going to expose the predatory nature of the student loan industry, how we got here, why student loans are such a big deal, and what can be done to avoid them in the first place. We'll hear stories of people burdened by student loan debt and be inspired by people who graduated college debt-free. We'll also hear from experts and thought leaders along the way.
To hear full episodes, just search Borrowed Future wherever you listen to podcasts or go to borrowedfuture.com.